God, I believe what your word says. I believe it is sure. I believe it is certain. I believe that you cannot lie. I believe that you love me, that you'll never leave me, that you'll never forsake me, that you have a plan for my life. You have a plan, and your plans never fail.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, everyone. Well, we've got another great message today from Pastor Bill's Romans series. Let's join in the study now.
Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 15. Man, we're just about completed with this great, great book. You know, these last two chapters of Paul are very, very personal, okay? And he's going to remind us of what he's doing and where he wants to go and so forth. And then in chapter 16, of course, he is greeting all the people that are working in Rome. But this morning, as we look at this very personal word, if you will, from the Apostle Paul, I want to encourage you, you know, listen, make Romans like just your sidekick, you know? Just read it over and over and over until you grasp into your heart, not up here, in your heart, all the great doctrines that are found in this great book. Amen? So I just encourage you to do that. You know, this morning, we're going to look at two words. The first word is hope. The next word is believe. You know, the word hope, if you read Paul's epistles, he loves that topic. He talks about it over and over. So what we're going to do this morning, I'm not going to rush, but I am going to go faster than normal through many of these verses, because I do want you to get a general knowledge of them. And then after, 10, 15 minutes, we'll then go on our main text, the things that I want to talk to you about. You know, when I was a little boy, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was so young, but I was watching, back then it was black and white TV, and I'll never forget when I saw Mary Martin, when she played in that first time as Peter Pan. Y'all remember that? Anybody? I was mesmerized. And I fell in love with all of it. I wanted to be a lost boy. I mean, you know the whole thing. I can tell this is a tough service. Well, here's the deal. I still like Peter Pan, all right? I mean, I know that he's not real, but my favorite movie is a movie Hook, and it's about Peter Pan. And it's a spiritual movie to me. It's not like, you know, it is a spiritual movie, but, you know, you have to be on my level to understand that. There's a scene, remember the little lost boy, Pockets? There's a scene, because Peter Pan is now Peter Banning, he's all grown up, you know, and he's back over there, and he doesn't believe he's Peter Pan. Nobody believes he's Peter Pan, even, you know, even the lost boys. But what does Pockets do? Remember Peter Banning? He's grown, he's on his knees, if you did see that movie, and he's just all washed up, if you will. And Pockets and all the rest say, "We don't believe you're Peter Pan. I don't believe. You're not Peter Pan." And then Pockets goes over there to Peter's face. Now, he's older. I hadn't seen him since he was young. You understand? Are y'all with me? So he starts mashing on his face. You know, when you get old, your face kind of falls. And all of a sudden, he pushed it all the way back. And Pockets says, Oh, there you are, Peter. I believe. Say that word. I believe. That's what I want to talk with you about this morning. You know, maybe this morning you're a bit discouraged or downcast or something's going on in your life, and you're just, maybe you feel a bit hopeless. If there's ever been a word that you need to embrace and say, I believe, it is this morning in this message. So as we kind of rush through this few verses here to get to the end of verse 33, then I'll come back and we'll talk about those two words, hope and belief. Remember, hope is not I hope so, I hope it's going to happen, not Bible hope. Hope is that certain expectation that what God promised he's going to do. Amen? Believing is the same as faith. It means to trust in, rely upon, cling to. It means that you are fully persuaded in your heart. on what God has said. Now, with all that being said, let's begin at verse 4 in Romans 15. Paul's concluding now. He's wrapping everything up. He says, whatever things were written before were written for our instruction or our learning, that through the patience, literally perseverance, and comfort, or literally encouragement of the what? The scriptures, the things that you're looking at right now, the book that you're holding in your hand, he says, of the scriptures that we might have what? Hope. That word is present tense in the Greek, which means keep on having hope forever and ever and ever. Listen, it says have hope in what? Do you have hope every time you read the Word of God? Do you say, oh man, it says hope in the scriptures. That means the written word of God. Listen, every time that you open your Bible and you read your Bible, you are being instructed by God himself. Amen? Think about this. This is the word, the living word of God. Now listen carefully. God and his word can never be separated. It can't happen. You know, people say, well, I believe in God, but I don't know about, you know, Noah and the ark. Well, no, you've got a problem. Are you listening? You see, you can't do that. You can't separate God and his word. You know, the Bible says that our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, 1 Timothy 1:1. The Bible says in 1 Peter, I believe it is 1:3, it tells us that we have a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is not, I hope so, or I think it's going to happen. Our hope is certain. It is sure because it is based on the promises of our Father in heaven. Matter of fact, Colossians 1:27, what does it say? Christ in me, the hope, or literally, the certain, sure expectation of glory. Man, God is perfect. Everything that he does, it never, never fails. Now listen, it says in verse 5, now may the God of patience, another name for God, may the God of comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be of one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we covered that last week, where we live in harmony with one another, that spiritual unity that we have. And because of that, therefore, we're to welcome, we're to accept, we're to receive one another, and he tells us how. That's where we ended last Sunday. Just as Christ received us. Jesus is our model on loving one another, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and accepting those who are weak and accepting those who are strong. Amen? Now, look at verse 8. And now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant, literally that word there is minister, to the circumcision, that means the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Now, the covenant promises is what he's speaking of, made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember in Genesis 12:3, God spoke unto Abraham. He says, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth, they will be blessed. Now, that word minister there, or servant, boy, if there's one word that truly defines our Lord, isn't it that servant? Remember what it said in the Gospel of Mark? She said, listen, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's exactly what our Lord has done. So here, you know, the Jews, they're doing something in that scripture I just read. They're glorifying God because of all the incredible covenant promises that were given to them. However, in the next verse, verse 9, we, the Gentiles, then and now, we glorify God for what? Watch it now, his mercy, beginning verse 9. And the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. And that's Psalm 18:49 I'm getting ready to quote here. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, he says, he's going to quote now from Deuteronomy 32:43, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Remember, the Gentiles are the nations that were outside of the Jewish covenant that God made. And again, it says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That's Psalm 117, verse 1. That's the shortest psalm. It's only two verses. That's the shortest psalm in the Bible. And then it says here, and again, Isaiah says, that's Isaiah 11:1. It says, therefore shall be a root of Jesse, who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him, meaning Jesus our Lord, the Gentiles shall what? Hope. There's that word again. Hope. In other words, that certain confident expectation of what God has promised will come to pass. Those were all scriptures. Those were the written word of God. Those things right there are true. You can't change them. Listen, the Gentiles, remember, that's who we are. We were without hope. Amen? We were without the covenant promises. We're strangers. We're aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. But we who were afar off have been brought what? Near by the precious blood of Jesus. In other words, we glorify God for his mercy. He saved us. Amen? Now look at verse 13. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. Now watch what Paul does. He's getting ready to tell us his personal plans. And I'm going to hurry through all this so I can get to the sermon. In verse 14, his plans begin. He says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you're also full of goodness, filled with knowledge, also able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul simply says, the only reason I'm in the ministry is by the grace of God, and everything that I have done has been accomplished by the power of another, just like in our lives, the Holy Spirit. Now Paul's going to review his past a little bit, beginning in verse 17. He says, therefore I have the reason, or the right, literally, to boast or glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word, deed, to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that from Jerusalem all around to Iconium, I will have fully preached, or literally I have preached or completed preaching, the good news of Christ. So what has Paul done now? Paul's concluding the letter and he says, listen, I preached everywhere. I did not make a name for myself. He says, no, I'm not going to boast or brag about all that I've done. Philippians 1:21, what did Paul say? He said, for me to live is Christ. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, listen, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Paul says, everything that I have done, everywhere I went, mighty signs, wonders, the power of God working, I had nothing to do with it. It was Christ working in me. It was the Holy Spirit working in me. There was no self-glorification. He says, if anyone is to be glorified, it's the one who died for him. Amen? The one who died for us. Now look at verse 20. He says, I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it written, to whom he was not announced, speaking of our Lord, the Messiah, where he wasn't announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, meaning the preaching of the good news, I have also been much hindered from coming to you. So Paul says, I'm an evangelist. I have the heart of a missionary. I went where no other man preached. When those people heard the name of Jesus, that was the very first time that they had heard so. Now look at his plan for the future, beginning in verse 23. But now no longer having a place in these parts. In other words, no more of an opportunity. And having a great desire these many years to come to you, meaning the people at Rome, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia, the Gentiles, all right, to make a certain contribution, in other words, a financial offering, because Jerusalem was suffering from the famine, remember? Book of Acts teaches us all about that. And so he says, I'm bringing this offering for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, meaning the Gentiles, for they are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, then their duty is also to minister to them in material things, meaning money. Therefore, when I have performed this and sealed them with this fruit, I shall go by the way of Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness and the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I don't know, and no one else really knows, if Paul ever made it to Spain or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. Tradition says that he did, but I don't know. Verse 30, quickly, and this is a great scripture. He says, but I beg you. The word beg is para kaleo. In other words, I'm begging you to come alongside. That's what that Greek word means. Come alongside of me. Surround me, if you will. Come alongside of me, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God. Now listen, that word strive means to struggle. It means that passionate, persistent, that fervent prayer. Paul knew, boy, did he know the power of prayer? Absolutely, prayer is the work. He invites those that he had never met. He says, listen, I want you to strive with me. The word strive in the Greek is an athletic word, okay? It means where the whole team comes together for one purpose, and in this purpose, it would be to pray for the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, I want you to do it because of the love of the Spirit which has been given unto you, given unto you. In other words, remember Romans 5:5, it says, now this hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. So what is Paul saying? He says, if you're really born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you, surely you're going to join with me and you're going to pray with me. And then he tells us that he pray for what? He says, well, that I may be delivered or kept safe or rescued from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and be refreshed together with you. How did Paul make it to Rome? You remember? He came in chains. He was bound. He had to go before Caesar. So he didn't make it the way he thought. And now may the God of peace, another name for God, may the God of peace be with you all. And what does he say? Amen. Now, quickly, I rushed through that because I wanted you to get at least a little bit of grasp on that. But what I really want you to do now is look intently with me at this one verse of Scripture, and it's verse 13. Verse 13. I pray that you embrace this with your heart this morning. Now may the God of hope, may the God of certain, sure, confident expectation, may the God of hope, only found here in the New Testament, fill you. The God of hope, fill you. Now listen, every word in our text is important. The word fill in the Greek is a Greek word plero, and that word means to fill to the brim, if you will. If we were all, for example, outside and a tornado came, you understand? It was not going to, in Jesus' name. Whew, man. And the wind, if we were on Lake Grapevine when that happened and we were in a sailboat, would the sails be full of wind? You better believe it. Okay, same thing when Peter and them were fishing and they cast their net out and it says, and their net was plero or full. It means they couldn't hold anymore. There was no more room, absolutely no more room for any of it. That's what this word means. Now, right this very minute, may the God of hope fill you, make you full inside. The God of hope fill you to the brim with what? Look at this now. With all joy, all peace in believing that you may abound, or as the Williams translation of the Bible says, that you may bubble over in what? Hope. That confident, certain, sure expectation. And how does it happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. J.B. Phillips' translation says it this way. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I love this part, listen carefully, that your whole life, that your entire outlook may be radiant or on fire with hope. Boy, hope is a good word. Amen. Listen, God who cannot lie. It's God calls himself right there in that scripture in verse 13. He calls himself the God of hope, the God of hope. I love that scripture because I know and you know that sometimes we are discouraged. Sometimes we are hopeless. Amen? Sometimes we don't think it's going to work out. Sometimes we don't think we're going to get through it. Oh, no. Listen, our hope is as certain as God himself. Why? He's the God of hope. It's not, this hope is not, well, I hope so, or wishful thinking again. No, listen, this is an absolute certain reality in the life of the believer. Our Father is the source of all hope. Hope is that internal fruit. Amen? That's right. So he's the source. Now, the imparter of that hope is the Holy Spirit. It's done by the power of another. So our hope is based on the sure, certain promises of the living word. Amen? God doesn't lie. He can't lie. And I said, oh God, you're so good. And did you notice that it didn't say, sometimes fill you? Or I'm going to fill you with some hope. You know, maybe not a whole bunch, but I'll give you a little bit. Or a little bit, I'll give you some peace. Does it say that? No. Now, I want you to listen to me, because I may sound a little hard this morning, but please don't take it that way. I'm provoking you as God provokes me. Is that okay? That's because he loves me. We're in training for reigning. Now, with all that being said, verse 13 is either a reality for your life or it's not a reality. Verse 13 is either true or it's false. That's why I say, I believe. I say that a lot to myself. I say, I believe. Oh God, I believe. I believe what your word says. I believe it is sure. I believe it is certain. I believe that you cannot lie. I believe that you love me, that you'll never leave me, that you'll never forsake me, that you have a plan for my life. You have a plan, and your plans never fail. Now listen, I look at that and I say, Lord, I know verse 13 is true, but is it really true in the reality of many Christians or Christians in general? You see, when we think about that hope or that peace or that joy that we're speaking of this morning, those internal fruits, loved one, listen to me. If you are born from above, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you what, they are living inside of you this very moment. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. What did Jesus say to us, to the disciples, in John chapter 14, verse 27? Jesus said to them, he says, peace, the thing we're speaking about this morning, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving it right there. Peace I leave with you. Now listen carefully. He says, my peace. Jesus said, the peace that is absolutely mine. My peace I give unto you. Man, is that true? Jesus, did you really gave me your peace? Oh yeah, Bill. Not as the world gives. Oh no, not as the world gives do I give unto you. You don't have to worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. He says, and neither let it be afraid. Why? Bill, I've given you my peace. No matter what we're facing in this world, we don't have to fall apart. Amen? The question is, do you, do I, do we, does a church, do we really say, I believe that Jesus's own personal, absolute, perfect peace lives in me. Lives in me. Lives in you right this minute. What about joy? What did Jesus say to the disciples? And we're disciples in John 15, verse 11. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy, again, Jesus' own joy, the joy which is his, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. There's that Greek word again, pleiro. In other words, I want your joy to be filled to the brim. I want you to be overflowing. It doesn't mean you're not going to have heartache. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through problems. But in the midst of all of that, it's there. Are you following me this morning? But do you believe that? See, God says, I don't want you to have a peaceless existence in this world, and I don't want you to have a joyless existence in this world at all. Now, loved one, listen to me. If I truly understand verse 13 correctly, and I believe that I do, and if I find Bill Quinn not living in verse 13, in other words, no, I don't have any joy. Come on, what's wrong with you? Don't you believe what God says? Don't you believe verse 13?
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to this message. Amen. And we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. Be blessed, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.